Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. This is Apostle Flowers. Thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Builders International Blog Talk Radio. This is the third Monday of the month where you hear this broadcast, Restore Paths to Berlin. I'm your host, Apostle Carl Flowers. I'm just great and excited to be on the air live with you. Thank God for the internet listeners, landline listeners, cell phone listeners, wherever you are tuning in and hearing this broadcast, whether you're on the other side of the globe. But thank God for you listening to this broadcast. Thank God for those that have been supporting this broadcast and listening in, faithfully tuning in every first and third Mondays of the month at 8 p.m. to Restore Paths to Dwelling broadcast. I'm broadcasting live from the windy city of Chicago. And I tell you truly, it did have been windy here. We started having some cold days again. But anyway, God is still good. That's all I want to say. But I just thank God for you. Thank God for Prophetess Teresa, the founder of Kingdom Builders International, those that are working with her behind the scenes to make this possible for you. And I thank God for your prayers and those that are praying for the broadcast and praying for Kingdom Builders International and even praying for this broadcast. I solicit your prayers as well. Our ministry, Prepare the Breach International Ministries. And again, we just thank God for you, and I do have a word for you on tonight. I know I believe I may have ministered this word before, but I feel led of the Lord to minister this word again unto you, the people of God. And before we get into the word of God, I thank God for my wife, Apostle Angel Flowers, and I thank God for her, my team partner in ministry. And again, I just can't stop thanking God for the people of God, you. Amen. You, the people of God, again, that makes this all possible. I want you to be encouraged on today. I want you to be in high expectation. I want you to get a pad, get a pen, to take some notes to refer to for yourself later on after you listen to this broadcast. You know, you can go back and read it for yourself. Even as the Word of God says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And so it's important that you go back and you look over the Word of God for yourself, because I can get on here and be saying anything. You know, I can say, you know, Mary had a little lamb and the Easter Bunny this and that. You know, you get some people that's not paying attention, they'd be like, amen, and be in agreement with me and everything else. So it's very important that you listen to whoever's ministering the Word of God. You listen intentively what they're saying to make sure that they are ministering from the Word of God, and you discern as well, and you get the Word and you open it up, get your tablet if you got a tablet, get your cell phone, you know, because they got the apps on the cell phone that you can go to and follow along with the Bible, with the Word of God. But what are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying this. It's very important that you know the Word of God for yourself, because we are in critical times. We're in time where the spirit of deception is running rapidly in the body of Christ, in the church. And so we have to know and have spiritual discernment for ourselves and see the enemy, and even see the enemy afar off even before the enemy comes. And then the Lord wants us to have discernment so that we know who's standing before us and who's ministering before us and everything. And so we have to be prepared. We have to be sharpened. We have to be fine-tuned to the things of the Spirit. God wants us to be walk, as you say, closer, have that intimacy with Him, that fine-tune, as was that St. John says, the 10th chapter, talks about actually that my sheep hear my voice and that of a stranger they will not follow. So we have to be able to hear the voice of the Lord, because there's a lot of things going on, as the Word of God talks about perilous times and many voices in 1 John talks about that are going out. And you got to be careful of all these voices that are out here and that is trying to minister, which are called familiar spirits. So we have to know how to discern the voice of God. We have to know how to discern the voice of the enemy when the enemy is speaking. We have to be able to discern our voice, you know, our soulish area, because sometimes our flesh be speaking. And so we have to be able to discern that as well, and make sure it's not our flesh talking to us. Our flesh is not speaking. So we rightly again have to divide, again, as you heard me say, the word of truth, and discern through the Spirit of God, the voice of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and what the Lord is saying unto us, the church. And so before we get started tonight, Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we bless you. Father, I thank you for an open heaven on this line on tonight. Father, I humble myself before you, Lord. I can do nothing without you, and I ask that you would speak through me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just declare and decree apostolically and prophetically, Lord, miracles, signs, and wonders being released, God, over the airways, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, those that are standing in the need of a manifestation of healing in their physical body, Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the mantle of healing being stirred up, being released right now, creative miracles, notable miracles, supernatural miracles taken, Lord, moving on behalf of your people, Lord, tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, even on this morning, Lord, wherever, again, on the other side of the globe, God, in the name of Jesus, a supernatural move of your spirit. Father, I thank you, Lord, for angels with healing in their wings, God, being released right now to those that need healing, God, those that the doctor have given up, Lord, those that the doctor have sent home in hospice care to die and say make things comfortable for them, their transition. You are a miracle worker. You're still working. You're still moving in miracle signs and wonders. Today you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Miracles did not die out. Miracles are still happening today. Miracles are for those that believe. But Father, I pray for those that are struggling in the area of their faith, those that are struggling in believing you, Lord, right now. They're so discouraged that it's hard for them to believe you, and they're doubting. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God, Lord, that I would have the faith for them on tonight, God, to believe you for them, God, that they will receive a miracle, Lord, that they will know that you're God and there is none other, and that you still live, and that you're yet alive, that you're not dead, that we don't serve a dead God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I release your fire right now to burn up the dross, to burn up every sickness, every spirit of infirmity, every disease, in the name of Jesus right now. I declare it right now prophetically on tonight, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let there be testimonies, let there be praise reports, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, heal your people of all manner of diseases. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I just declare and decree it on tonight to be healed and to be made whole. In the name of Jesus, on tonight, whatever it is that you believe in God for on tonight, whatever miracle that you need on tonight, this is your time to grab it. This is your time to grab it right now in the spirit. This is your time to be in a place of receiving right now. In the name, receive your healing on tonight. Receive your deliverance on tonight. Receive from the Spirit of the Lord on tonight. In the while the heavens is yet open, Father, we thank you for an open heavens over your people on tonight. Lord, I release the anointing that breaks and destroys every yoke on tonight. In the name of Jesus, every chain of bondage be broken and destroyed. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray right now that the powers of darkness fall right now over the lives of your people, Lord. I rebuke the spirit of discouragement, disappointment. In the name of Jesus, I command your people to be loose from the spirits of depression and oppression. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, and I just release faith. Let faith be in the act come alive on tonight, and then let it be stirred up and rekindled again on tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise, God, in the name of Jesus. Those that have their back up against the wall, Father, I thank you for moving on behalf of your people. Those that I'm sensing right now, the Lord is showing me, those that there are some that's listening to me right now under the sound of my voice. You got some money tied up in probate court. Some of you got some money tied up in the court system right now. You've been waiting. You've been waiting for right now. There's a person to me right now. 10 years you've been waiting on this money, this settlement that's been tied up. God is loosening it. It's released on tonight. You're going to be hearing some good news. The Lord has released it in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for releasing finances that are tied up right now in the name of Jesus, being loose right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We praise you right now. Money that has been held up, receive it right now. It's being loose right now. Many of you are going to receive letters in the mail in the name of Jesus that your money has been released. Many of you are going to receive phone calls that your money has been released in the name of Jesus. Many of you have been waiting on some money that you're going to have a supernatural deposit in your bank account in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We praise you on tonight. We bless you, God, in the name of Jesus for right now, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Oh, come on right now. We just want you to just begin to give God some praise and some glory. Just begin to thank him in advance for right now. Just begin to glorify him. Begin to magnify him. Hallelujah. Just take a moment right now. Just begin to bless the name of the Lord. Come on, just start blessing him right now. I know you're a little rusty right now. I know it just seems you're rusty. You haven't praised God because you've been going through. You've been down and out and kind of depressed and going through. And it's kind of hard sometimes when you're going through to praise God and when you feel like you're so discouraged and the enemy have beaten you down so and in your mind mentally and you're in a state where, you know, it's hard for me to praise God because I'm going through and people don't understand how can I have joy in the midst of what I'm going through. You know, I lost my job or you know, my loved one just died or my spouse just walked out on me. And how could you say praise God at this, you know, at this moment? You know, I've been believing God for quite some time, a long time, and it seemed like things are not happening for me. It seemed like things are not breaking for me. It seemed like I'm receiving one bad report after another, one negative report after another. It seemed like the more I pray, it seemed like the worst things are getting. I want to tell you, my brother, I want to tell you, my sister, that you are on a verge of a breakthrough. You are on a verge of a miracle. God is yet moving for you. And when it seems like things are getting worse and worse, that means things are being released. Hallelujah. It's already done in the heavenlies. And you can tell it's warfare going on because you see it in the natural realm. And when it looks like things are getting, it looks like it's getting worse and worse, and it don't seem like things are letting up and there's no turnaround. This continue to begin to continue to just give God, you know, praise is a weapon. And I know sometimes we feel like we have to continue to warfare and pray warfare prayers and so on, but actually praise is a weapon. Hallelujah. Now all you have to do is just begin to thank God and begin to bless him. Just begin to say, God, I thank you in advance for doing it, Lord. I'm holding on to your promise. God, I praise you. I bless you. Even though right now, emotionally, I feel sad. I feel down right now. I feel I'm fighting with this depression. But just begin to bless the name of the Lord. Now, this is not no cliche. The Word of God said when the praises goes up, the blessings come down. I tell you, the enemy have to release the blessings. The enemy cannot hold up what God has promised you. I'm telling you, if you just begin to praise God, if you just begin to bless him through the midst of opposition, through the midst of what you're going through, I'm telling you, you're going to begin to see breakthrough. And see, you're being tested. You're being tried. And see, the enemy's trying to shut you down and shut you up and don't want you to bless the name of the Lord. The enemy don't want you to give God glory. He wants you to murmur. He want a spirit of murmur to come on you. He want a spirit of complaining to come on you. He want a spirit of doubt to begin to entertain you and begin to minister to your mind and minister to your thoughts. Now, I want to tell you, my brother, I want to tell you, my sister, don't entertain the spirit of doubt. Don't let the spirit of doubt minister to you. Begin to cast down the spirit of doubt in unbelief. Begin to drive those spirits out. Don't let those spirits minister to you. You have to drive them out. And I tell you, by driving them out is by praising God and believing God. Just saying, you know what, God, I'm not, Lord, you're wonderful. You're awesome. And not only after you begin to praise God, spend some time praising God, then just begin to take some time out and begin to worship the Lord. God, I worship you because you're awesome. God, I worship you because you're great. God, if you don't deliver me, Lord, I still love you. I'm still going to follow after you. I'm still going to serve you. Sometimes look at this people, God. Sometimes we base our walk, if we're not careful, off of what God can do for us. You heard me say it. Sometimes we base our walk off of what God can do for us. And so that's why when we go through tests and trials in our life, God, that's why God allows us to go through certain things to see do we really love him. Are we really just following after him for the loaves and the fishes? Is our motives right? Because, you know, God tests our motives. He tests the reins of our heart. God looks at the heart, not the outer appearance. I know we can put on a show. We can go with the motions. We can know all the, you know, the cliches. We can know the latest with the lingos and the words to say and the terminology and all that. God can see through all of that. It's the heart. As God told the prophet, God said, I don't judge the outer appearance. I look at the heart. I'm not looking at how the person may look like they're strong on the outside and look like they're holding it all together and look like they don't, you know, not going through anything or different things like that. And God said, no, I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the heart. And so that's what God is looking at. And so what are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying this. Just begin to worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. God wants us to spend time worshiping him and being in his presence, and that's what begins to bring transformation in our life, and that's what begins to cause us to get through the midst of opposition that is working against us. And the enemy is doing nothing but doing his job by coming up against us and trying to cause discouraging matters to come up, to say, see, God's word ain't true. See, all this fasting you're doing, all this praying you're doing, you're just wasting your time. See, if you just go ahead and just compromise, see, I'm bringing, you know, some things to you, you know, make it easier for you. And, you know, but you don't want to take it. So, you know, you want to believe and trust God, but, you know, ain't nothing happening. So you ought to compromise. You ought to go this route, just as he did try to do Jesus. You know, when he took Jesus upon the mount, trying to tempt him. And so what makes us think that we are exempt? If Jesus was tried, temptation was brought to him, we're not exempt. The enemy's going to do the same thing to us. And so the Lord wants you to be encouraged, my brother. The Lord wants you to be encouraged, my sister. The Lord wants you to be encouraged, mighty man of God. The Lord wants you to be encouraged, mighty woman of God. You have to look at the word of God said that all things, he works all things together for our good, out. He works all things out and together for our good. Right now, some of you are going through in the area of relationship. Remember, God works all things out and together for our good. I want you to stand on that on tonight. If you don't get anything else on tonight, stand on that God works all things out and together for my good. Romans. Hallelujah. And the book of Romans says that. Hallelujah. I believe it's the 8th chapter. And I believe the 28th verse or somewhere in there. But I'm telling you, God is working it out for your good. Regardless of what it's looking like right now, you believe in God for healing. You have received one negative report after another concerning your health. But God had promised you that he was going to completely heal you and restore you. And God wants you to stand on that. God wants you to stand on his word. I heard a sister share her testimony. This was a couple of Sundays ago. I went to go and support this woman of God. Thank God for her in her ministry. And I tell you, God used her to bring, I tell you, the mantle of a prophet and a teacher fell on her to bring words. She was stepping on my toes. And you know, we're sharing about that, how we all are called to full-time ministry. And sometimes we feel like, we have to not be working on the job to be in full-time ministry. But that's what religion taught us, to say in order for you to be in full-time ministry, you can't be working on a job and so on and everything like that. That, you know, that's what religion say. No. We're supposed to be in full-time ministry, whether we work in a job or no matter what profession that we are doing, we don't call 24/7. We don't stop, you know, because working on a job or something like that. The calling of God doesn't stop. It's full-time. So we're supposed to say, hey, you know, because I'm not in church on Sunday, let me lay my calling down when I, you know, get home in the house or when I go to work, because I'm not at church. You know, I do all that when I go to church, and I pick it back up. No, it's a 24/7 days a week job that we're supposed to do. The Bible says like this in Romans 12 chapter, we're ought to present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. You hear that? We're supposed to present our bodies. Hear that again? A living sacrifice. And what is a living sacrifice? We are living epistles, read and known of men. So that means we're supposed to be the walking word. Amen. That's why the Bible, again, you heard me say, to study to show yourself approved unto God. And so that's why it's important for you to know the word of God for yourself, because you don't know who you're going to encounter, who you're going to meet, that you're going to need to share the word of God with. And so you have to be prepared. You have to be ready. And that's what I want to touch on tonight, is leading up to, what is the hope of his calling? And I know a lot of times we feel like, you know, we say my calling and what God has called for me, that I'm called to do this, I'm called to this office and so on and everything like that. But the word of God says like this, that we're supposed to know the hope of his calling. And if you can go with me to Ephesians. Turn your Bibles, your tablets, your cell phones. Just go with me to Ephesians. Come on. You got it yet? I want to give you just a few more seconds to open up those Bibles. Amen. Amen. I know you like the apostle. You haven't even said what chapter yet or what verse yet. I'm going to begin to let you know in just a second. So I just want you to go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Do that. If you can just go with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, right now, in the fourth chapter, starting at the 11th verse. But I want to share this with you. In Ephesians, the first chapter, while you're going to the fourth chapter, 11th verse, I'm going to share this with you. In Ephesians, the first chapter, in the 17th verse, it says it like this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So what's the purpose of God giving us his spirit? And then what's the purpose of God giving us wisdom? Because James says it like this, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And God will give it to us freely and not withhold it from us. And we need revelation, right? Because it's the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us revelation of the Word of God. And see, because you cannot discern the Word of God if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot receive revelation of God's word or the things of the Spirit if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit or with the Spirit of God. And this is something that the Old Testament prophets and different ones had back in their day. So we're blessed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're blessed to have the living God living on the inside of us, a holy God living on the inside of us, these imperfect beings, this imperfect flesh where there's no good thing that dwells in this flesh. So the Word of God says like this, that can no natural thing discern the things of the Spirit. So if you're walking in your flesh, walking in this natural, the natural mind cannot discern the things of the Spirit. So it takes a spiritual mind. It takes to be able to discern things of the Spirit. And so you have those that seem to be, you know, intellectual or may have went to, I'm not knocking seminary school, Bible school, but you have some that have went to seminary or that are going to seminary school, that are studying to be pastors, studying to be a minister of the gospel, but not filled with the Holy Ghost and not even saved. Not even saved and going, just full of head knowledge and going, you know, so that they can be a pastor of a church and teach. And I, you know, I've heard many testimonies of those that went to seminary school and was not even born again, and they had a visitation from the Lord, had an encounter with Jesus. And you know, and they share their testimony how they weren't even saved, they weren't even filled with the Holy Ghost, and they didn't even really believe. They were just full of head knowledge, just Bible, just the Word of God. No revelation, no nothing until they were converted, until they repented. I'm talking about pastors. Now, these are pastors going to seminary school, not even filled with the Holy Ghost, not even born again. And then you have in some of these seminary schools, they don't even allow speaking in tongues. They don't even believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And I tell you, you know, some people, you know, what are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying this. Some of you listening to me right now under the sound of my voice, you know that God has called you. And you've been holding back, and you're not moving forward because you feel like, oh, I need to go to Bible school, or I need to go to seminary school. I need to get some kind of degree in ministry or something like that in order for me to do the call of God, fulfill the call of God on my life. So, well, I don't have the money and so on. And so that's just an excuse. Don't be like Moses. They use that for an excuse when God was calling him and drawing him. And he used all kind of excuses of why he can't go to Egypt and say, thus said the Lord. All kind of excuse to God. I got upset with him, said, okay, well, you know, use your brother Aaron. You know, he going to speak on your behalf, but he must say everything that I tell you to say, that he must say it, word for word, and so on. So God, you know, went with that, but God ain't, you know, not having us to have any more excuses today. So either you're going to do it or not do it. What's going to end up happening, he's going to give it to another. That's saying yes. So you don't want God to do that, to give what he has called for you to do, the work he's calling for you to do to another. And so you don't want to have any kind of excuse from fulfilling the work of the Lord or the call of God on your life. So get up and just do it. Amen. Do what God would have you to do. And and some of you right now, you feel like, I'm afraid. I'm like Gideon, and I don't want to, I'm just afraid. You know, people, they look at me funny. I don't do too well with rejection and so on. And what if they don't hear me? And so I just need confirmation. Lord, I'm gonna take my throw rug and just sit it outside, and Lord, just give me confirmation by letting it just rain on that part of my rug and let it be dry outside around the rug, and then I believe that you're calling for me to minister the gospel, and now the Lord causes the rain on your rug, Lord, let it rain outside of the rug, and let my rug be dry as a confirmation. Then I believe that you have called me. And so, how many confirmations do you need in order for God, for you to do the work of the Lord? And so that's just another excuse that we just use in order from doing what God would have us to do. But then some of us experience where we're allowing leaders, different ones, to intimidate us from doing the work of God. Oh, well, you don't have the background, you don't have the education, you haven't did this, you haven't did that, so you need to come and sit under me for 10 years, and then I think about it, see if I release you and so on. And it's, and we don't have time for that. You can see all around you that time is rapidly winding up, and that the evil all around us, and in the media, and this is our clock, people of God. We have to wake up. This is our clock of the signs of Jesus Christ, and that we must work while it's day. And that the Word of God said, "When night cometh, no man can work." And so you're seeing it constantly. Men of God dropping dead in the pulpit. You see constantly, the generals, that have been here are leaving here, but those mantles are still here. And some of you, God wants to release those mantles upon you, but you're not in position to catch those mantles because, we're sitting up making excuses of why we're not doing what the Lord would have us to do. I'm preaching to myself too. I haven't did all what God would have me to. There's some things that God want me to do right now, but I have allowed some things to get in the way. I have no problem being transparent. I have no problem to say, hey, I've failed short. I've missed the mark because, I've not been completely obedient to what God was having me to do. I've been procrastinating. I've been putting some things off, some things that God want me to do, and especially when it comes to the people of God. And I've been like allowing things to get in the way and so on and making just kept putting it off. Okay, Lord, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to do it, procrastinating. And so I'm like, Lord, forgive me for procrastinating and keep putting it off and so on. And some of you have been procrastinating and putting off what God, assignment that God has given you to do. And you're looking for, to have certain things. Well, this has to be in place and that has to be in place. Remember, the Word of God says about this, that it's our faith. God is moved according to our faith. So you need to get up and start doing something, whether it seems like you don't have the resources, the Lord will provide. If you begin to act and begin to step out in faith, then God is going to begin to move for you. God is going to begin to move on your behalf. The Lord is going to begin to provide for you because now he sees you getting up and you beginning to move towards what he would have you to do. Now, if God would have Elijah to prophesy a drought, a 3.5-year drought, that it would not rain, and then tell him to go by the brook and that there he's going to be fed by the most dirtiest bird, that's going to come and bring him food. And so he could have ended up being like not believing God and doubt and so on and everything and just could die. But because his walk with the Lord and his trust in God, and he believed the Lord had provided for him through faith, even with the widow woman, with the son that had the whole cake, the meal and the cruise of war, go by her and so on and everything like that. So just all this, just believe in God. And you know what, people, God, you heard your pastors minister here, the men and women of God, the fivefold ministry gift, minister. I mean, it concerning the area of faith and trusting God and believing God and regards what it looked like. And again, we cannot do. We have to walk by faith and not by sight, people, God. We have to call forth those things which be not as though it were. And not only as we do that, we have to believe it. What's the purpose and the point of calling forth that which be not as though it were if we're not going to believe it anyway? So we're just releasing this breath of air in the atmosphere. We're canceling out what we're releasing in the atmosphere right there. We're just canceling it out right away. It's like we're being double-minded. And James said that, think not that you should receive anything from God if you're being wavered, if you're being double-minded, because a double-minded person is unstable in all the ways. Now, how many times have you been around somebody that's been unstable? You know, one minute they say in this next minute they're like wishy-washy. The world calls it wishy-washy. You know, this person is wishy-washy, but in the church we call it double-minded. We call it unstable. We call it instability. We call it, you know, not believing God. One minute they believe, it's just like one minute you believe God, next minute you don't. One minute you believe God again, next minute you don't. Next minute you believe God, next minute you don't. You know, it's like you're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and you're not going to receive anything from the Lord if you're like that. You got to stand on what you believe. Swear to your hurt. Change not. Now, this is the word of God. You have to stand on till God tell you something different. And what we fail to believe, we want to call the apostle a false apostle. We're going to call the prophet false prophet because, oh, what they prophesied to me didn't come to pass. Oh, what are you doing? Because the prophetic is conditional. So if you're not doing anything for those prophetic words to begin to come to pass, there's some things that you have to do. Put it like that. There's some things that you have to do, some steps that you have to take in order for the prophetic word to come to pass. So if you, I love that Luke uses as an example. So if you get prophesied a business, so what are you doing? What are the steps? Do you have a name to that business? Do you know the area that the business is going to be in? Did you got things together concerning your business, the paperwork? What are you doing concerning your business? Are you moving in the direction of your area of business? So do you think that a business is just going to pop, just fall in your lap, or are you just going, hey, it's just going to happen for you? No. What are you doing? Just like the same thing concerning the house. When some of you are believing God for a house, what are you doing? I know it's prophesied to you concerning the house. Are you taking some steps to try to somewhat clean your credit up some? There's some things that you can do. You can do that. Do your own credit. There's some steps that you can do in order to start get some stuff off your credit. What are some steps? Are you thinking? Are you looking? I know God can supernaturally move regardless of your credit may be jacked up, messed up, hooked up, down and out, or whatever the case may be. Yes, I know that God is a supernatural God, but are you getting up doing anything? Are you getting up looking? What type of house that you're believing God for? You know, what area that you're believing God for that you want to move in? I mean, you know, what steps are you doing? Are you getting up and going out doing something? See, Abraham, he could not receive, anything except until he got out. God told him to get up. Move from your kinsmen, your kinsfolks. Go out because there's a place of promise that I have for you. So that wouldn't have happened for Abraham if he would have stayed with his kinsfolks and just stayed home and not did anything. Again, some of you, God called you to move out in ministry, but you sitting back and you waiting. You waiting on somebody else to do the work for you. Nothing's going to happen unless you get up. You start doing something. You start moving towards what the Lord would have you to move towards. I tell you, people of God, I don't share anything that I've not experienced myself. I tell you, on last year, during the winter month, coming close towards the end of the month, I don't know if some of you may have heard me share this testimony before, but I feel to share. Again, it was prophesied to my wife and myself about that God was going to bless us with another vehicle. Bless us with a vehicle with more room because we're going to need it, more room. And so I'm looking at, I'm kind of like wrestling back and forth, man. It's my money. I'm already still paying a note on the one vehicle that I have. I still owe you know, and another, you know, like another 5,000 on you know the vehicle, and so on, everything. There's like another note. You know, I was kind of, you know, I, to be honest with people, I was kind of wrestling with it. I was struggling with that word, but we kept getting words about, you know, new vehicle. But even my wife, even before we even started getting words about a new vehicle, my wife just kept saying, you know, man, we need another vehicle. We need to get another vehicle. We need another vehicle. But me, it was me. I was the one that was wrestling with it. I was the one who was being analytical about it. And I'm like, oh, looking at all this more insurance. That's another car note. You know, I don't want to, you know, and I'm just wrestling, you know, just kept wrestling with it and so on and everything, and just looking at, you know, just, and so when we got the word from the woman of God on last year about, you know, thus said the Lord said, get up and go to the car dealership, the new car dealership, where they sell new vehicles, and the showroom floor, look for a vehicle on the showroom floor, and you're going to go in there, and don't worry about no money that you know, if you have the money or not, or don't even worry about no money or whatever at all. You're going to go in there, you're going to come out of there with a newer year vehicle, this year vehicle, 2015, yeah, new year vehicle. You're going to come out, so go. So, you know, I'm still kind of wrestling with that word and so on and everything. And I, you know, after a while, I said, you know what? Told my wife, I said, let's just go. Let's get up and let's go and do it. So we got up and we went in. To make a long story short, we went in and so they like, what you looking for? A new user? What are we looking for? A new vehicle? Hey, look, we ain't looking to put nothing down. And that was it. So we're not putting anything down. But, you know, okay, well, we'll see. And so, and so they're like, you sure, you know, put something down there, you know, came back and was like, you know, you sure you don't want to put nothing down or something? We'll work with you. You know, pay me, you can bring a little here, a little there. We're like, nope, no money down. We're not putting anything down. And so we like back and forth for hours, over like almost 5 hours. Wrestling, you know, back and forth. I went from to the point my wife got out and walked out and said, you know what? And I said, I'm going, I'm out. And I'm like, I'm ready, I'm tired too. I was mentally and just physically tired. I'm about to get up and walk. This is ministering to somebody on tonight. That's why I believe God is having me to share this. So I'm like, you know what? I'm about to go. You know, my wife, she gone, so I'm about to go too. Like, no, we can, you know, we can do this, because it went from them was going to put us in a new vehicle to come out something used, and we're like, no, we're that's it. Don't go. So wait a minute, you know, we do something that we can rework this deal. Wait. So, and then, you know, they came back and said, you know what, boom, you don't have to put total zero down, nothing down, and he even threw in some other stuff, some you know, accessory in to seal the deal. I tell you, God had blessed us where we were able to drive out of there with a 2015 vehicle with no money down, people of God. And I tell you, that's the kind of God that we serve. And I tell you, that's what God, he's no respecter of person. Amen. And this is the time, this is the season for it. People of God, that the Lord will provide. And not only that, the Lord had, I tell you, not only that has God moved in that area concerning that, but it was no miles on the vehicle, but it was like, put it like this, yeah, it was about eight miles on, because they had to take it off of the truck to get it into, you know, the showroom, to bring it on into the showroom. So that it had about eight miles on it from taking off the truck. But anyway, it was a brand new vehicle. Nobody didn't drive it brand new except to bring it into the room. But let me tell you, not only that, but God turned around and moved upon a person hard, and they paid off our vehicle. Now, you heard me say about the vehicle that I had. I'm like, man, you know, man, I'm still wanting to pay this vehicle off, and just believe in God, because we were declaring and we decreeing and believing God that our other vehicle was going to be paid off and so on and everything. And not only that, God had blessed us, amen, with a brand new vehicle, but he blessed us with somebody had paid off our other vehicle. And I tell you what a mighty God we serve. And I tell you that's what God is doing for the people of God. And I tell you, time for us to be possessors of the land. It's time for us to receive the wealth transfer of the wicked. And this is what the Lord is doing. It's time for us to move in. And I know we've been hearing it for quite some time. Or some of you have been hearing it for years, like, oh, I've been hearing it, oh, you know, the wealth transfer. Again, it goes back to, what are you doing? Are you moving? Are you in pursuit of what the Lord has spoken over your life in order for that to that transfer to take place? Are you getting yourself in position for that transfer to be able to take place? What are you, you know, that's why you have to be out ministering. That's why you have to be out in order for that Cornelius connection to begin to take place. So if you're not doing it, then how are you going to meet, amen, that person that's holding on to your wealth? How is that going to happen? I've heard testimonies, you know, where people have went out being led of the Lord, just being out, happened to come across a person that was a millionaire, but it happened to come across that person that was leading God for a building, that person that had the building that they need. I tell you, it was this man of God, amen, and his wife, the pastor and his wife, friends of my wife and myself, shared their testimony how God had blessed them. They went to look at a building. And went and met with the person, and got blessed with that building. They told them they didn't have to pay anything, give no money up front, no down payment, no nothing. The building is there. Don't worry about the money right now or anything or nothing. They can come in and do whatever. And so the wife was looking at, there was another building connected to that building, and she happened to be looking at the other building and said, oh, you're interested in this building too? Oh, man, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. That building is yours. You know, y'all want it, go ahead. Y'all can have that building too. And so I'm telling you, that's what God is doing for the people, favoring someone by them stepping out and everything like that. The Lord has blessed them. I know I ain't going to really be able to get into the word tonight like I really want to, but I'm just moving as the Spirit of God is having me to go prophetically on tonight, because I know, I mean, you need to hear this on tonight. It's time for you to pursue and without fail overtake and recover all. It's time, as Joyce Meyer said, do it and do it afraid. It's time for you to step out and be obedient to what thus says the Lord concerning you, concerning your life. I'm telling you, it is time for us to be a destiny fulfillers. Amen. Concerning the call of God on our lives, people of God, concerning the call of God, concerning our children's lives. Amen. It's time for us to push them, concerning their purpose, concerning their destiny, to prophesy over their lives. Amen. Get them acclimated and activated, doing the things of God. Why do we feel like, because we may be up and older in years or something like that, that our children have to be a certain age and up and older or adult in order to do the things of God? I'm saying it because I've met some people like that. I'm saying it because I've encountered some people that were older, you know, my elders, amen, that I met, and they say when I was sharing with them that I'm a minister of the gospel, and they say, you a minister? Oh, you like, you know, you too young to be a minister, baby. And I'm like, what you expect? You know, you expect, and I didn't say this to them, though, but I'm just saying this. What do they expect? They expect for you to be old and stuff in order to do the work of the Lord? And so, no, he said he called the young because they're strong. Amen. And he called the old because they're wise. And the old's supposed to be encouraging the young, amen, to do what God, and back them up and support them, you know, financially, or support them with the wisdom of God. I ain't talking about with their wisdom, but I'm talking about with the wisdom of God. Not get jealous, not allow a Saul spirit to come upon them and then try to, you know, kill them. I'm talking about spiritually, character assassinate them or kill them or hold them back or keep them from moving forward to, no, you're not ready yet, and so on, or trying to say things to discourage them. I'm just saying that people got, because I've been there. I'm not saying something that I have not experienced or have not been through myself. These are things that I've experienced and went through years ago, starting out in ministry when the Lord had called me, when I had a supernatural encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, team just fresh coming up out of high school, DJing, dancing. I had my own little dance group on my way heading to Atlanta, Georgia, to try to make it in the music industry, to try to make it as a rap DJ. I was going to be the DJ for the rapper and the choreographer and stuff like that, you know, just trying to make it, you know, fame and fortune, trying to, you know, run from the call of God on my life, because I wasn't really seeing the call of God on my life. I didn't believe concerning the call of God, even though it was prophesied on my life as a babe 3 days old, a newborn. I just couldn't believe it as I got older. As you heard, many of you heard my testimony, you know, and those that maybe listen to this broadcast right new and may not have heard my testimony, but I was brought up in the church and it religiously didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and prophesied to it at 3 days old from somebody, a family member, a great-grandfather that was not a preacher, didn't have a prophetic bone in his body, that I was going to be a preacher. Told my mother that I was going to be a preacher, but I just couldn't see it growing up, you know. And as I got older and started going to sow my oats and be wild and rebellious out there and so on, but when it was time for me to answer the call of God and I had my Damascus Road experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, him, you know, himself, and had my wake-up call, and then that's when I began to answer and begin, you know, the call of God and everything upon my life. But I had to go through the process. I had to go through the process of serving, submitting under leadership, being trained, knowing how to be a disciple and walk in humility. I tell you, people, God, I started out cleaning up the church, cleaning up the washrooms, coming in, serving, submitting, like I said, under, you know, leadership or whatever I can do, however I can help my pastor during that time, the pastor that I was serving under. And in these days, we don't know how to serve. We don't want to serve. We want to come in and, you know, like we want to come in and try to run over the leader, the pastor, and so on. We want to come and be the pastor of the church. I'm sorry, don't you dare hang up. Don't you dare change that, you know, shut the internet down. Don't you dare do it. Don't you dare do it. Amen. Yes, the Spirit of God is talking to you. Yes, you want to come in and you want to take over. You want to bring your ideas and so on out of the church to run. No. You come in, yes, the call of God is on your life, but you're supposed to come in and submit under leadership. Allow the Lord to get trained and be nurtured and be rooted in the things of God. And again, I'm telling you, talks about especially the apostolic ministry as apostles. We are called to serve. We're supposed to serve the people of God. Why is it that we got their bodyguards and we want those to carry our Bibles and cater to us? And so I'm not saying nothing wrong, you know, for, you know, somebody to come be a blessing and so on, this and that, but we got to get our priorities in line. We got to get things right. We are called to serve as men and women of God. We're supposed to serve the people of God. We're always supposed to walk with the spirit of humility. We always will be ready. So I tell you this day, people of God, I still will vacuum, sweep the church floor. I will still, if I have to, I would wash the toilets or whatever. I would have no problem still doing it. I would pick up garbage. If I see trash or whatever down, I wouldn't have no problem doing it, even if it's not my church. If a brother or sister at another church, another pastor, something like that, I'm just going there, whatever, and say, hey, you know what, I need your help. Would you help me with this? I mean, I don't want to sit and be like, oh, I'm the apostle. How dare, you know, you ask me to carry this or carry your bag or help you break down this equipment and so on and such. How dare you? No, I was still, sir, I was still helping my brother. I was still helping my sister with no problem at all. I was still would be in a position to, sir, I don't think that I'm all that and that I arrived and that, yay, that I'm thinking I'm so great that I can't help somebody, that I can, you know, still pick up a piece of paper off the floor. I dare a person say something, you know, to me, I'm the apostle. I'm the chief apostle. You know, how dare they tell me to, bring them a glass of water or hand them their Bible or do this or do that or, you know, or tell me to come and work at the altar with them, do some altar work. Well, how dare them? I'm the one that's supposed to be the one to do all the praying and this and that and have them to give instruction to them to do this and do that. And so that's the problem now in the body of Christ. I know I'm tearing some stuff down on tonight, but this need to be said. It's like that. You see it on television. You see it like that in the body of Christ. You know, we really don't even want to too much do team ministry anymore. I'm not saying that the team ministry is not out there. Yes, you have those that are doing team ministry, but I'm talking about the ones that are not allowing team ministry to go forth in their churches or allowing those to alongside with them to minister to the people. God, how are they going to be trained? How are they going to be able to exercise? Again, I ain't talking about just sending a novice out there to minister, but I'm talking about those that are seasoned. I'm talking about those that do that are qualified, those that have God have called, you know, he qualified, the word of God says, you know, how are they going to move in what God would have them to move in if they're not allowed to exercise it? I don't understand that. We're reading from the same Bible. Jesus, he worked with the disciples. He trained, he sent them out by twos. He told them they can cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and watch them recover. And, you know, when it came back with the reports about, you know, the devils were subject to their name, the people were being healed, and Jesus told them to rejoice because of it. He said, rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's, in the book of life, Lamb's book of life. Your name is written in the book of life. Rejoice because of that. And so I tell you, people of God, you know, we have to know as men and as women of God, I'm talking about as pastors, as leaders, whatever part of the fivefold ministry gift office that we serve in, I'm telling you, we have to walk in the spirit of humility, true humility. I ain't talking about this false humility, because you have some that are walking in false humility. Yes, I know we have some that don't like me right now. I know you don't like me right now, but please do not turn that, please do not shut the internet off. That's the problem now, because we know we don't want to hear this. You know, we don't want to hear, we don't want to be, I'd rather to humble myself than for God to humble me. So that's the problem now, pride running rapid with our leaders in the body of Christ. So we have, I don't care how accurate and sharp you are in the prophetic ministry, how sharp your gift is. I'm telling you, if you don't have character, that don't mean a thing. You got people that are so sharp and accurate in the prophetic ministry, but you hear all kind of stuff about them. They get all caught up in infidelity, fornication, adultery, all kind of stuff going on. And so that's why God don't want us to get caught up on concerning the glamorous side of ministry. God wants us to have, he's developing the fruit's character in his people. And so that's what he wants us to have, the fruits of the Spirit. Don't get caught up in the gifts. You know, character. Allow God to make you. Allow God to mold you. I'm telling you, people of God. I'm talking to you, man of God. I'm talking to you, woman of God. I'm talking to myself. That's for all of us. That's why we go through, I'm sound like a broken record. That's why we have tests and trials in our life, because God is purging us. He's pruning us so that we can bear forth much fruit. Because it pleases our Father, Abba Father, Daddy God, which art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Amen. That's where Reverend comes. I know I'm about to step on some more toes on tonight. You know, I say this in love. I say it in love. I love you as my apostle friend. I love to hear him say Apostle Kenny Jackson. You know, he speaks the truth in love, but he say, hey, I love you. Amen. So on tonight, I want to say this. Where in the Bible does it say, you know, Reverend, the title Reverend? Would it be called reverence? You know, I'm sorry, I ain't trying to offend anyone, but I'm just saying, you know, where do you find it in the Word of God that he gave some reverence? You know, I say this in love. Come on, we say more with the Word. It does not say, you know, only time you see reverent in the Word of God is in Psalms, where you say, holy and reverent is thy name, O Lord, and that's pertaining to God. So that's why I tell people, you know, I have some people come to me and say, hey, Reverend. I say, hey, you know what? I would rather that you call me minister or call me apostle, pastor, or brother if need be, but please, you know, don't call me Reverend, you know, because the only one is Reverend is God. And that's his name. Holy Reverend is he. And so, but these are a man-made title. And so, again, people of God, that's why we got to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. Again, workmen need to not be ashamed. And so, again, it goes back, you know, again to the word of God. I know many people about to be angry and upset with me again on tonight. I'm probably, again, you're probably going to shut your change the dial on the internet or change to something else, or probably hang up on tonight, or maybe want to email me, write me, or say something to me, or whatever. Be real, real, real upset about this, but where in the Word of God does it say, and he gave some bishops? It does not say that in the Word of God, where he gave some bishops. The Word of God says if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire a good thing. Amen. So it don't say anything about that he gave some bishops. And why is it that you're seeing the office of a bishop is being exalted over the apostles' ministry, the apostolic ministry? That office is highly being exalted over the apostolic ministry, and the office of a bishop is not even a governmental office. And so that's all I'm going to say. That's a subject for another matter, teaching on another matter. I know a lot of people being upset with me on tonight. Oh, how dare he say that? Go back to the Word of God. People got to go back and study and read the Word of God. Amen. Concerning the ministry gift office, could see the difference. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. And go back to Timothy again, where it says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, that's a desire office right there. And so the fivefold ministry, those are elected office. Those are offices that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself. Those are chosen office. Everybody cannot be an apostle. Everybody cannot be a prophet. Everybody cannot be an evangelist, pastor, or a teacher. You have to be called in those offices. Now, don't you see the difference between desired office of a bishop to, and he gave some, these ministry gifts? The office of a bishop is not a gift. That's not a ministry gift. But again, that's a matter for another broadcast. So I know my time, I done kind of went over my time, and I want to apologize. People have got to know I had a kind of late start, starting on tonight. But I just want to encourage you. The Lord wants you to be encouraged on tonight. Amen. Man, do what God has called for you to do. I mean, there are people that are checking up out of here every day. And I'm going to say this again. I know many of you heard me say this before. Many of you may not have heard me say this. Again, you may be new to this broadcast on tonight. Being broadcast from the Windy City of Chicago, Restore Paths to Dwell In broadcast. If you just tuned in, my name is Apostle Flowers, Apostle Carl Flowers, and you're hearing this broadcast live from the Windy City of Chicago. And I want to say this. If you're not, and you're new and you have not heard me say this, I'm going to say it again. Again, this prophet shared this vision that he had. Amen. The Lord took him to the graveyard. And he's asking the Lord, Lord, why am I in the graveyard? Why did you show me this graveyard? He told him, look among the headstones and so on. Look around you. What do you see? Well, I'm in the graveyard. That's what I see. I see a bunch of headstones and so on and everything in this graveyard. And so... And so with that being said, and so he said, Lord, but why am I here? Why, why am I here in this graveyard? And so the Lord told him, these are people, look and just read, these are people that have lived and that have died, that have not fulfilled his purpose for their life, that have not fulfilled the call of God for their lives. These are many people that have not even left a legacy behind. These are people that have lived and died. And their talents and their gifts have died with them. So do you want to be that one that God said that his spirit don't strive with men always? You want to be one that God had called you from your youth when you was a little girl, a little boy, and now you up in age and God is still calling you and you still yet finding the call of God on your life? You're still resisting. You're still walking in rebellion and disobedience. You still won't answer the call of God on your life. This is the opportunity now to repent and ask the Lord to forgive you. Even though you missed the opportunity to do all the things that the Lord had called for you to do while you were young, you can yet still fulfill some of the purpose of God concerning your life. And remember Moses. He was 80 years old before he started walking out the call of God in his life. But come us, God called us when we were young. And so that's no excuse. We just been walking in complete rebellion. You need to repent. And you need to do what God would have you to do and stop running, because you don't want to be lifting your eyes up in hell and preaching in hell. Because remember, the gifts and calling of God is our repentance. I'm telling you, you got people lifting their eyes up in hell, preaching in hell. That's right, preaching in hell. Because remember, God's word is not going to return unto him void. And so you don't want to be doing that. And so you want to be doing what God would have you to do. And I tell you, this, when you listen to me now, you feel like, oh, I'm young. Yeah, I know God is calling me, but I still have my life to live. I haven't did all the things that I want to do. I still yet got a party. I still yet, want to get high and drink, And still, want to do this every now and then. I still haven't experienced what it is to you know, be with this man, or be with this woman, or that woman, you know, or I'm bisexual, or I'm, you know, homosexual, or I'm a lesbian, or you know, I was born this way, and so on. This is acceptable unto God. No, you were not born that way. No, this is not acceptable unto God. Amen. That's in the deception of the enemy. And I just say this in love. You have those that are homosexual, the bisexual, lesbian, in the pulpit, in the church, in the choir, in the church now, and feel like it's okay. You have leaders that are saying that are homosexuals, that are saying that it's okay, or that have same-sex marriages in the church. I'm talking about pastors, leaders that are married to another man or married to another woman, and that are pastors in the church saying that it's okay, a church full of homosexuals and lesbian, bisexuals, and so on. You just, I'm telling you, you need to repent and turn away and not allow the enemy to deceive you and think that you're going to, that is acceptable unto the Lord, and that you're going to make it in, and that this is okay to God. It's not. Regardless of what the world is doing, it's not okay in the church. We're allowing these things to creep into the church, the ways of the world, and what the world is doing and saying that it's okay to do these, you know, allow these things in the church. It's not okay. This thing is not okay at all. And so, again, judgment begin in the household of the Lord. God is getting things in order. God is setting things right in his house. Amen. So how are we going to experience the glory of the Lord, this great outpouring that the church has been praying for and looking for, if we allow these different things to happen in our congregation? We allow these different things to happen in our church. What are you saying, Apostle? That we're compromised. We're allowing compromise to take place. Well, you know, if I touch on this and touch on that, you know, a lot of people are going to leave the church. I mean, the tithe is going to go, how the bill is going to be paid, and so on, everything. I want to say this to you, trust God, believe God. Don't compromise. Don't number the people. Don't compromise. You preach the truth and lying. Talking about preaching of fire, brimstone, being nasty, beating people with the rod, with the word, you know, the hateful message and so on. No. You speak what the word says, and you do it in love. You don't have to be nasty about it like you have those that are doing. Being nasty with the word of God, talking about all you nasty, you know, homosexual, you and this and that, you nasty, dirty dog, you stuff like that, just being, you know, just cold. No. With loving kindness have I drawn thee, you know, so that's what we have to do. Without compromise, we can do that, preach the word of God without compromise and not be nasty. How are they going to come? I wouldn't want to be a part of your church if you tear me down and you know, beat me up, you know, with the word and so on and everything, but you're not doing anything to build me up. You know, okay, you know, tore me down now, okay, I need to be bandaged. You know, I need some salves, some saving salves. Like they don't even sell it anymore. They've been stopped selling it for years ago. So, but I need some salve to, you know, to put on the wounds, you know, that, you know, I've been cut up pretty bad. And so, but anyway, when God tear anything down, he build up in love. And that's what the Lord do. He come right back up and build up his people. You know, he just don't, you know, come in and just tear you down and cut you up and then just leave you open. And so, and that's what's going on in the house of God. So people, God, we need to, if you're pastor, we just need to repent and ask the Lord to forgive. I know a lot of times we do what we were taught. You know, the traditions of men, that's another message in itself that the Lord would have me to minister on at another time. That's another message in itself. So we follow after the traditions of men, what we were taught. You know, hey, my pastor beat me down, my pastor embarrassed me in front of the congregation and putting my laundry out there and so on and everything. This is what I was taught. And so we feel like, you know, now that we're pastors, we're leading now, that's what we're supposed to be, the congregation. You know, you were taught wrong. So God needs to do something. You know, you need to cast down those thoughts and those imaginations and that mindset concerning ministry need to be changed. You need to allow the Lord to change your way of thinking, cause a paradigm shift, and especially concerning ministry, especially when it comes to the people of God. You know, the Bible talks about that in Jeremiah, believe, woe unto his leaders. You know, that scatters the flock, the sheep, his sheep that beats them, you know, with the rod. So we're going to give an account for that. And we feel like because, you know, we're so prophetic, we're prophets, and so we feel like we have to, you know, just tell them just as we see it. No, it's called wisdom, baby. It's called wisdom. You know, that's why Isaiah said, tongue of the learned, that I may speak a word to them that are weary in their season. Not tear them down, not embarrass them in front of the congregation or from the church. Well, this is what prophets supposed to do. I'm a prophet of the Lord, and I'm not supposed to hold back. No, it's called wisdom. You have many prophets that are lacking in wisdom when it comes to the prophetic ministry. Yes, that may be right what God is showing you, but God is not saying sit up there and embarrass that person in front of the whole congregation. Now you just ruined that person's life, and now they are turned away from the church, and now they don't want to have nothing to do with the church anymore because many people have walked away, ran away from the church because they were wounded and hurt by prophets, because they want to tell them, thus said the Lord, and embarrass them in front of the whole congregation. Yet there are times when God will have you exposed, though, because he have dealt with them to repent of their mess, to repent of their stuff, and they didn't want to repent. God have came to them in secret over and over about it. God have sent people to them to say, hey, you need to come out of this. God wants you to repent of this, come out of this. But they refuse to. And then that's when God exposed that person openly in front of the congregation. And that's when the Lord would do that. But other than that, you know, we have to use wisdom to be careful. And if God is showing you something that a person is in, you don't broadcast it in front of everybody. You remove the microphone away, and you speak to them in their ear, and you tell them what the Lord is saying in their ear, not in front of the whole church. And then especially when it comes to leaders in ministry, you're not supposed to be sitting up there rebuking a leader like that in front of the congregation, in front of everybody. I'm talking about that pastor. You're going to minister in someone's church, and you know, to that pastor, the leader of that congregation, and you sitting here and rebuking them, embarrassing them in front of the whole congregation. They're not going to be hard for their sheep to receive from them, because well, their pastor, you know, have fallen short in this area of their life, so I can't receive from him. I can't receive from her. What could they tell me? This or that and all that. No, God, I could see if they were, you know, trying to, you know, cover up their stuff and hide their stuff and didn't want to repent, and God gave them space and chance to repent. And I could see what their cases, what God would have you as a prophet to expose it. I'm telling you, people, God, we have to have wisdom in the body of Christ. And I tell you, you know, especially when it comes to marriage, that's a delicate area when you minister to those in the church concerning marriage and leaders and so on and everything like that. You cannot be trying to speak their business out in front of the church, in front of the congregation. That's no wisdom at all. You know, you got the people of God, we got to have wisdom. Now, come on, pray for the wisdom of God, not this devilish wisdom. James talk about this earthly wisdom, this sensual wisdom, this wisdom that tears stuff up, this wisdom that mess stuff up, just tearing the church up because of no wisdom in the house of God. Amen. That's a matter for another subject in itself. Well, people, God, I know my time is just almost about up. I just want to allow some time to open up the lines and for the people of God. If you have any words of encouragement, need some prayer on tonight, that this message ministry on tonight, I just want to agree with you. I want to pray for you and believe, God, that you begin to move in what God would have you to move into. What I'm doing, if you hear me talking about the fivefold ministry so much and about the people of God moving, because that's my conviction, because I've been there. I know what it is to have sat under leadership and was under control, the spirit of witchcraft, to sit under those that have operated out of a warlock spirit, out of witchcraft, and you know, knowing how to get up out of their bodies, you know, astral projection and all this stuff firsthand. I'm telling you, one day I'm going to get a chance that the Lord is going to allow me to share you people, God, what I experienced and what I've been through. I'm sitting under leadership with the enemy trying to discourage me through that, to saying, hey, I'm not going to trust no other pastor, no other leader. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to just, you know, just don't want to have nothing to do with the church. But God said, no, I'm using that to train you, to teach, because I have those out there that I'm not bowed, that are chosen of me, that are not compromising. And so with that being said, people, God, those of you under the sound of my voice, you want to give your life. Amen. I just want to take this opportunity. You may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. You want to give your life to the Lord. All right, now this is your opportunity to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You messed up, you've sinned. You feel like, hey, I've did so much sin, so much dirt, that God will forgive me. And look, that's what Jesus paid the price for. All you have to do is repent and turn away. And some of you may be in a backslidden state. Again, you feel like you did so much that God, you know, that there's no hope for you. There's hope for you. Amen. That's the whole purpose of Jesus shedding his blood for you. I'm not saying to take advantage of. Amen. I know we have grace teachings out here, you know, but the Word of God says, shall we continue in sin that grace me about, no, God forbid. And so, but anyway, I'm not talking about practicing sin, but if you just repent and turn away and just, you know what, make a conscious decision, say, you know what, God, I'm going to get up and I'm not going to stay in my mess and stay in it. I'm going to get up and I'm just going to move forward in you. And then forgetting those things that are behind and reaching for those things that are ahead, begin to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Amen. Just begin to do that. So just all you have to do, just repeat after me and say, Lord Jesus, forgive
Lord
me
Jesus.
For sinning Goodness. Against you.
Against
Lord,
you.
I know that I'm a sinner.
Lord,
and
I know
repent.
I am. And I repent.
For the remissions of my sins.
For the remission.
I repent for sinning against you.
I repent for sinning against you.
I repent for being disobedient towards you, Lord.
I repent for being disobedient towards you,
and
Lord.
And I believe, Lord Jesus,
and I believe
you came.
And
that
Lord
you
died.
Jesus,
and you died.
And that you rose from the grave.
And you rose from the grave.
And that you sit on the right hand of the Father.
That you sit on the right hand of the Father.
And that you are Lord.
And that you are Lord.
And Lord, I thank you for saving me.
Lord, I thank you for saving me.
And filling me with the precious gift.
And filling me with the precious gift.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Of the Holy Spirit.
And I thank you, Lord, that I'm saved.
And I thank you, Lord, that I'm saved.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you confess that, amen, I want to encourage you to get into a Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled, teaching the whole role where they believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They believe in the supernatural move of God. Amen. They believe in utilizing you, being used. Amen. Somewhere where you can be trained, mentored, give somebody a season concerning the Word of God. Amen. Be accountable to, you know, to somebody. Amen. Go in serving. Don't go in and feel like, oh, I know more than the leader. If that's the case, then you would have been a pastor. And so submit and humble yourself under leadership. And then I'm telling you, I'm talking to someone now that you're called to ministry. You've been through, you've been hurt in ministry. You've been there, but God is leading you to this particular ministry. But you have been having a hard time submitting under that leadership. But God is saying to you to submit under that leadership, because God said this is going to be the launching pad for your ministry. And I said, cast out what you know, what you have learned. Because God said, I'm uprooting those things, and I'm going to begin to place the new within you. I'm going to begin to refill you again, and I'm going to begin to teach you my way. I'm going to teach you how to do things concerning ministry and even concerning my call on your life. And so the Lord said, begin to connect with the vision of the house, and don't allow the enemy to cause you to be discord in the house or to operate out of pride, but submit to the vision of the house. Lay down your gift, lay down your talent. And God said, watch and see what I'm going to do with you. And as you begin to do that, God said, I'm going to begin to elevate you. And I'm going to begin to promote you in this ministry. And again, this is going to be your launching pad. What have taken years God said it's not going to even take years to get you to where I want to get you to. Amen. Because I'm a redeemer of the time. God said, don't resist, just submit and serve and watch and see what I do with you, even concerning ministry. God said, even as I launch you off, amen, in ministry, God said, walk, continue to walk in humility, walk in servanthood. Continue to serve, and don't allow pride to keep in, creep in, but continue to be a servant and continue to serve and watch and see what I do, says the Lord. Amen. Well, the lines are open tonight. Amen. If you need prayer, I guess with the time that I do have, I don't know how much more time that I do have, but the lines are open. Amen. Just announce your first name and where you're calling from. Amen. Caller, you're on the air. God bless you, caller.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise
Go ahead.
Praise the Lord.
I've been trying to get my unemployment released, and I've been going through some changes trying to get it. And I really need it, to take care of some more business that I need to take care of. I would like to ask for prayer for that.
Okay, amen. What city are you calling from?
Mississippi. Cold War.
Okay, Mississippi. Okay, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you for my brother. Lord, I lift him up before you, Lord. I just touch and agree with him, Lord. You said whatever we ask in your name, that will you do. So, Lord, whatever you said I ask in your name, that will you do. Father, I pray concerning these finances that are held up, Lord, you had me up to by word of knowledge, Lord God, to that you showed me earlier about people, different ones have finances, different things that are tied up within the system, that you're releasing the finances. Father, I thank you, Lord, for releasing these finances that is held up. Father, I thank you for releasing my brother's unemployment, God, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I thank you for doing it, Lord God. Lord, and Father, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it in Jesus' name. So, my brother, I want you to just begin to give God praise for it now from here on out. Just begin to thank him for doing it and being high expectation. And I want to encourage you, if you're connected with the house of God, begin to start tithing. Begin to start tithing. God is only asking for a dime off of that dollar. Amen. So just when God released, as the Lord has released the finances, begin to start tithing off of finances. Tithe off of them. I want to encourage you to do that. Amen. Amen. Be encouraged. Amen. God bless you. Caller, you on the air.
Praise the Lord. I was calling in for prayer. That's why I was wanting to enjoy the man. And I'm calling from Chicago. And I'll ask prayer for a daughter that the Lord would deliver her from running the street. She run the street every weekend. And I'm asking prayer. When I'm on my disability, I believe they owe me more than what they're giving me. And I believe that they have helped with some of my funds. I'm asking the Lord, if so, to reveal it so that they can release the other part of the money that they owe me. And and since I've been on the prayer line, I asked when I came on the prayer line maybe over a month ago that the Lord would bless me in my walk as far as praying and stuff. And the Lord been waking me up in the middle of the night to pray. So I thank God for that since I've been so I'm asking you to pray.
So you've been obedient. That is good. You've been obedient doing it. Huh?
Yeah, I've been getting up. It's like different times
Okay. Have you went and tried to, you know, I guess petition for a, I forgot what you call it, like a from the relook, reevaluation
finances? I didn't know nothing about it.
Okay. Have you tried filing like a petition?
No, I didn't know nothing about it. I just, no.
Yeah, you should even go back and try to have them relook over, you know, concerning your your year, and go back and have them relook over it again concerning the money. But Father, I agree. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you and I praise you and I bless you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you say anything that I ask in your name, that will you do. Lord, again, you have me to speak concerning finances that are held up being released. And Father, I ask that you move in favor of my sister, God.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, in the area of finances, Lord God, and increase. She says you believe there's more money that is owed, more money that is due unto her, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I ask that you would do it. For Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, I ask that you move concerning my daughter. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, she's believing you for her daughter running the street.
Yes.
We thank you for the call that is upon her daughter's life. In the name of Jesus, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I call her, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the realm of the Spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that she would be in your dealings, Lord God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, that she would not have no rest or no peace, Lord, until she answered the call of God upon her life.
Ask
that you be merciful unto her. I rebuke the spirit of death over her life, premature death, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, where the enemy has tried to hold her captive and hold her in bondage, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I pray that it be broken off of her life, the stronghold of the enemy, so that she can be free and hear the voice of the Lord speaking to her, the voice of the Lord ministering unto her, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. For in Jesus' name,
thank
God, amen. And amen. Father, I thank you again for this mother's testimony, a praise report, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, even concerning the area of finances, and Lord, even concerning her daughter, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for doing this so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, mother. Be encouraged.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen, amen. Carla, you're on the air. Amen. God bless you, Carla. You're on the air. Amen. Amen. Well, I would love to hear your testimonies. I would love to hear your praise reports of God bless you through this broadcast, Restore the Paths to Dwell In broadcast. Amen. You know, just share with us because this is encouraging to us. So, but I want you to tune in again on the first Monday of next month at 8 p.m. to Restore the Paths to Dwell In. I've been your host, Apostle Carl Flowers. Our ministry is Repair the Breach International Ministries. Thank God for the landline listeners, the cell phone listeners, the internet listeners. I just thank God for you. Amen. And again, we ask you continue to pray and uphold the ministry as we continue to endeavor to do the work of the Lord, and even as we continue to train and equip the people of God so that they can do the work of the ministry. And so that's what we are all about, and that's what God has given me to train up and make disciples of men. He didn't say make my disciples. He said make disciples of men. His disciples, disciples of the Lord. Amen. To do the work of ministry. Again, it goes back to, you know, those who have calls of God upon their life. And so, again, thank God for you. Thank God, again, for the landline listeners, cell phone listeners, internet listeners. Amen. Bless you. And with that being said, if there's no more callers, I'm going to go ahead and begin to close the broadcast out. And again, we'll let you know when we have upcoming events or anything coming up. We will keep you posted. And again, we thank God for you. Again, tune in on every first and third Monday of the month at 8 p.m. And this will Restore the Path to Dwell In. And I've been your host, Apostle Carl Flowers. God bless you and love you, and good night.